Welcome to the show. John, how are you doing this fine day?
I'm doing fantastic.
Yeah.
It's Friday,
yeah,
which for me means abuse of liquor and food all weekend.
Wow, that's...
That's great, eh?
That's stunning insight into the lifestyles of the John.
Of the old and bald.
Can I break in here?
Oh, who is this guy? Who is this guy joining us?
Well, John just brought up one of the things. Hi, Mayor Dean Fortin, Mayor of the City of Victoria. But it was funny. John just brought up one of the things that we chatted about, which we first thought was really for fun. But we actually should look at it. Can we declare the official patio day, the day of the first day of summer in Victoria? And like maybe March 15th, right, where the rest of the world is like.
We could do it. We could do it the day after flower count.
Exactly. Yeah. Saying, you know, we officially opening patio day in the City of Victoria.
That's a great idea. And I bet you Grant Olson from the Strathcona would give you thousands of dollars to do
that. Oh,
oh, and we can get Kim Mitchell to come and sing Patio Lanterns, right?
This is good.
You guys remember that?
I think we're onto something.
Yeah. For those of you under 50.
Who wonder about how policy is actually made in the
city
of Victoria.
Kim Mitchell is an old guy who used to sing songs in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there are no old bald guys here. So let's just get that straight.
We are really glad this is
not
radio.
Do not Google us. Yeah. Yeah,
fair enough. So I got to tell you, John, the first time that I met Mayor Dean Fortin was when I ran against him in 1996.
Did we officially introduce him? I don't think we did.
Yeah, Mayor Dean Fortin.
Yeah.
Mayor Dean Fortin, Mayor of City of Victoria.
The best city in the world.
Yeah.
Right? And you know, that's actually where we probably need to start.
Yeah.
Because often in the City of Victoria, I mean, I've heard that one where it's like, you know, how many does it take to change a light bulb? And the joke, of course, is four, that one person change a light bulb and the other three to comment about how much they like the old one. But the truth is, we're an extremely progressive city.
Yeah.
We're one of the most amazing cities in the world, and I truly believe that. We have things that we have to work on. There's things that have made us better over the last 6 years, but there are also some challenges out there. And so you look forward to those. But you have to start from the base that, I mean, I was coming to just last week. And as I come down that top of Cook Street, I don't know for people who've never been to Victoria, from Victoria, but the top of Cook Street, as you start to come down, the Olympics just hover over there. And I think,
yeah, stunning.
It's beautiful.
We live in a beautiful city. We have amazing communities and networks and neighborhoods where we have coffee or patio. Yeah.
It's worth fighting for, isn't it?
It certainly is something that getting involved in making things happen.
We're
very fortunate.
So, and I think, every time I've met you, Dean, you seem like just the guy that's on top of the world. Like, you've got the best job in the world here. Am I right about that?
Absolutely. I mean, I always have seen the mayor's office as it's an opportunity. It's not a career.
Mm-hmm.
There's two reasons for that. First of it is you want to come in, much as the old Greek pledge, make your city better than it was when you leave. You know, when you leave, you want to have it better than when you came in. But fundamentally, I guess the concern always, if you see it as a career or you're running just to be mayor, then fundamentally the issue is that you'll start to make decisions that are based on what you think is going to get you elected or not elected, as opposed to what you think is right.
Right.
And in the end, there are so many decisions that are a question of competing values. And they're all good values. I mean, for instance, last night we were talking about boating in a certain section of the Gorge Waterway, where it was to a certain extent the challenge between wanting to provide affordable housing, recognizing that people have a right to live a certain way, any way you choose, as long as you're not impacting any neighbors, versus the impact on the environment there. That's extremely sensitive. You had to make a choice between social justice and environmental concerns. Sometimes you like to say, let's find the right one. Sometimes you say, you do have to pick one priority over the other.
I've been saying for years to anyone who listened to my rant,
That's all three of the friends.
At least three friends, yeah, on Facebook. That affordable housing is.
Oh, look, he's down to two.
Yeah, that's right. don't unfriend me.
Come on, Mom.
I've been saying for years that affordable housing is the top issue in this region. People are born here, they're raised here, and then they can't afford to live here. Obviously, a key component of that is having good jobs here, that people can afford, you know, to have good houses, having a regional growth strategy so that people like me can still afford to live here, albeit in far-flung places like Souk. or the Western communities. And
are
so,
you announcing your candidacy for
no,
Mayor Vittori?
God, no. Stop that.
Sorry, Dave. But you know what? But I got to throw that. Yeah, it was interesting.
And am I right? About, like, is it as big an issue as I think it is?
I think affordable housing is one of the critical issues to people who live here and want to stay here. I've been out talking. Well, I'm always talking to people. I have mayors open doors all the time. But over the last year and a half, been out meeting with a variety of different groups, setting up with different people. One of the people, for example, or groups I've been working is a lot of the digital media people. So whether it's KIXEY or Kano Apps or all of those. When you go and talk to the people that live and work here, those are the big concerns.
Yeah.
You know, I love this city, but I need to be concerned about how I can afford here. How do I buy my first house here? You know, housing is a big issue.
Yeah.
How do I keep a job, find a job, make those things happen?
Well, and,
for those
and,
who, I mean, it's understanding what Victoria is. I mean, we get 60,000 university college students a year, 85% who come from away. They come here. They want, you know, Mr. Mayor, can you make me a job? We try to set the conditions to make sure that businesses can succeed, because it's not a business. It's really people who create wealth and employment and opportunities. Mm-hmm. We've also seen that a lot of people, especially in Victoria, is becoming way more entrepreneurial, where people go, fine, if you know, no one's going to give me a job, I'll go make my own.
Yeah.
And we're really seeing that sort of change to the city.
And that is not unique to the city. It's actually unique to the region. It's unique.
You know what? And I can say to the region, when I talk about Victoria, I hate to say it, although I'm the mayor of Victoria, technically 85,000 people.
Unique to the province.
Yeah, you are the region.
These are the sort of global trending issues of how a younger generation of folks can afford to live, where they want to live, and can they work there as well.
I see it as a double-edged sword. Like, as an entrepreneur and with a history of starting all sorts of businesses, I think it's great. On the flip side, though, I think there's a lot of people, and I know many of them, who they start a business because they've run out of other options. And they do it out of economic necessity, not out of inspiration. And I don't think that's good. I don't think that's part of a healthy situation. And
it's not bad.
Well, but we still need to have core employment. We still need to have
Agreed.
Who's employing the bulk of people?
No, listen.
And if the answer is government, then we've defined our town as a government town. If it's high tech. If it's hospitality, you know, all of those things. But I think there needs to be a good mix, and there needs to be big companies and small companies and everything in between.
I agree. And to a certain extent, it's about having a deeper understanding about the economy of Victoria, Greater Victoria. I mean, to a certain extent, people say, oh, you're a provincial capital, you're a government town. Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Or people will say,
fine.
Oh, wait a minute, you're a tourist town. You know, we have 3.5 million tourists. Oh,
yeah.
We're a tourist town.
Yeah.
People are starting to say, well, wait a minute, we're a university town. I mean, we got UVic, we've got Royal Roads, Camosun College, all the private sector. Like I said, there's that many students.
Yeah.
We are a marine and shipbuilding repair
That's
town.
That's right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then also you go, okay, you know what? We are a complex economy that really contributes. We gain from that in the sense that, the bubble for high tech was like 2007, 2008. They went down, lean and mean.
Bubble for everyone, I think.
Yeah. they actually started earlier and got lean and mean, and they were carrying us as the rest of it went down. So as America went down, tourism dropped.
Oh, yeah.
We kind of had that happening. Or when provincial cutbacks happened, we had those others, and people returned to school. So, for Victoria, I mean, as the provincial government cut back, I think the cutback was about 4%. We've been seeing growth of about 2%. So you recognize the private sector has actually been carrying the economy for the last six years. So it's been an interesting time that we've come through, but it's been a good time.
So this is extraordinarily solid stuff and great stuff to hear. Let's get in some of the fun stuff.
Okay.
Ooh,
fun. Let's get into fun stuff.
Mayor is the best job in the world. I will put on the chain of office. Often people will say, is that heavy? And I know philosophically what I say is, some days it is light as a feather, and other days it's as heavy as a mountain.
Well,
and it's just the decisions you have to make and the things you have to do.
Well, actually, that's a good lead into the question I was going to ask, which is, fighting here for the mayor.
hey.
What, come back to the open door.
What is it actually like to be married?
Come back for the open door. What is it like to be married?
First of all, you're always on. You got to always be smiling. You got to always be, you know, ready.
I really enjoy being mayor. It is the most accessible level of government. Whether you're shopping at your local Thrifties or Fairway store, whether you know you're swimming at Crystal Pool, it's always the mayor's open door. I like that. I mean, I think one thing about this job is you have to like people, and having patience to listen to people. It is a great city. We have one of the smartest cities, I think, in Canada. I mean, we have, what, 60% of Greater Victorians have a university degree. I think we're like 30, 40% have doctorates. Like, there are good people with good ideas, smart, that want to be engaged. And for me, that's fundamental, is that commitment of engagement.
And so
you are still the CEO, though, right? You still, ultimately, you need to go out, you need to talk, you need to make sure you have the right people. But fundamentally, as a CEO of any organization, there comes a point where you say, you know, you need to make a decision and make the best decision based on the information you have at hand, but make a decision. And then from there, do not be afraid to change in the face of different information. But at the same time, there is a need to be steadfast, to make sure that you follow through. Those are important. Now, the secret of success is knowing when. When do you stay steadfast? When do you say new information says we need to change and adjust? As far as that position is, it is about working with council as a group. In Canada, we have what's known as a weak mayor system, that you're one vote out of the nine that are there.
Yeah.
There is some expectations on leadership. But fundamentally, it is about building the coalition, which I think is good. You want to have everybody with you, and recognizing that the councillors represent a certain group or population, that you want to bring as many people forward. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some people call it governing to the middle. Ultimately, it's providing the best decision that will provide the best result for the most amount of people.
So when I...
Sorry for getting serious here on there.
Yeah, wow. Sorry. Wow.
I was moved.
I was moved. You're going to be moved right out of this office in a second.
Yeah, I am. Let me stay.
Whenever somebody says to me that they want to change the world, so they're going to run for city council, I giggle a little bit. And then I explain to them my view of it, which is very jaded. And please disagree with me if you feel otherwise.
I'm already disagreeing with you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's
pretty standard.
Excuse me, I'm talking to the mayor. Right? So any issue...
So you guys do realize you're kind of like an old married couple.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's the magic of the jump.
That's what we're going for, yeah. So on any issue, with a few exceptions, big exceptions, like things like the bridge and sewage and stuff, but most every other issue that comes before council, 1 or 2% of the population is strongly opposed to whatever that thing is, and 1 or 2% of the population is moderate to strongly in favor of it. And the other... 94 to 96% of the population doesn't care at all, and so as mayor and council, you're dealing with these very strong opinions from a lot of one issue people because they're there because of their issue, and to me that just, I mean, it doesn't sound like a terribly exciting job having to deal with that. And so, first of all, is that, you think that's accurate? Am I out to lunch on that? And if that is true, are there other aspects then of your job that do make it fun and exciting and feel like you're moving things forward as opposed to just dealing with these tiny battling groups?
You know, so first of all, I disagree with you about saying, you know, you can't make change in the world. I think that more and more, no, it's great. Thanks for being provocative and giving me an opening there.
We do like beating up on
people. That's right. Try to say bitter and cynicism for like late Friday afternoon. Not how you want to start Friday morning. But you know, okay, first of all, City of Victoria, Region of Victoria, we punch way above our weight. We get way more media attention. We have more opportunity to influence, with all due respect, the public agenda. We've been able to go from an estimated 1,500 homeless down to 350 this year, estimated.
Wow.
Like, that's a significant difference. When people say you can't do anything about homelessness, we've done it.
I didn't know that. Okay. Have I just not heard the news? Or
it's like just that? We just keep chunking away year after year after year,
that's
and we've
incredible.
Been working hard. And I will say we've been working hard on the economic development side. You know, this year we brought in the lowest tax increase in 14 years. right? And it took progressives to do that. Not the conservatives, we need to be fiscally crazy, but it's like we've been able to reduce our budget, we've been able to cut back management, we've been able to increase the amount of development and new assessed revenue coming through. We have a very strong economic development strategy that's been working. That's been great. And let me tell you this, next year's going to be even better than this year. Mm. Next year, this year we've issued $300 million in building permits. Which will show up as new assessed revenue next year. That is, depending on whether it's residential or commercial, which plays 3 to 1, anywhere from 1.5 to another $3 million. So that again allows, that's a new revenue that isn't used there to keep to our budget. So we're continuing to build and make great shape. At the same time, we were able to increase our funding to our senior centers, to our community centers. And it's something that John and you and I have talked about this in the past, but it's an understanding that there are two sides to the coin. You want to do those issues on better bike lanes, better parks, better resources and pools and all of those sort of issues. But you've got to have a strong economy to make sure you can pay for those things. Right, yeah. That's really important. Yeah. Bringing that balance forward, knowing what's happening. I think there really has been a maturity happening in the city of Victoria. And I'm talking about the citizens in the greater Victoria region.
Around understanding
how that works.
Yeah, yeah.
You've seen the business community. I mean, the day that I saw the Chamber of Commerce president standing with the head of the BC Feds, both of them agreeing that we need to up the minimum wage, is the day you say, okay, people are understanding that it's a complex situation and they're willing to take a look at the others, working together. And we don't always agree on everything, and those are the far outside pieces, but I think that we can, you know, really shown that we can make a difference in the economy. We can make a difference in affordable housing. Mm-hmm. We can make a difference around homelessness.
Can I just just throw a question? And if you don't know the answer, that's cool. Of that, was it $350 million of development that's coming on?
$300 million in new million. Assessed of building permits yeah. issued. That's the value of the building permit.
That's amazing. So speaking to affordable housing, do you know offhand what portion of that is purpose-built rental? Or is it all condos and commercial?
Oh, it's a variety of condominiums, commercial.
Yeah.
There are some purpose-built rentals coming forward. We just opened the Hudson.
Because it strikes me that's a big component of what Victoria needs.
Yeah. I mean, we've certainly moved forward, and that's been part of what we've done over the last 6 years, frankly, both the first term and this term. Whether it be Wilson Walk, those are affordable rental housing, the Greater Victoria Housing Society, we've helped them move forward on many, and we love their leadership along up and around Gorge Road. So you're seeing affordable rental that are market, they're below market. For those, which is different, but for the homeless, you need more supportive housing. We've worked hard with the province to be able to both delivering building supportive housing and also attracting what we call as rent subs, an opportunity to say, use the private sector to provide the housing, mm-hmm. but provide the supports that are there.
And
so we've seen that success. Poverty is still an issue. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Mental health is an issue. Addictions is an issue.
Yeah. But I'm not even talking about sort of the lower echelon where, you know, people are homeless and have addiction problems. I'm just talking sort of lower middle class folks being able to afford, you know, to get into a rental place affordably. And so I think, you know, I'm sure you know a lot more about this, than I would, but as an outsider, it strikes me that this simple sort of economics of, well, if you build more, then there's going to be greater supply, and then that should drive down the price, or at least keep the price stable in terms of the demand side. But as I understand, it's very difficult. Like, you know, you won't see developers approaching the city and saying, we want to build a building with 300 rental suites, you know, in your city. Like, that just doesn't happen, right? You got to sort of make deals to say, hey, Hudson, when you're building, you know, you're doing your, you know, however many condo units, we also want you to do however many rental units as part of the mix, right? Is that kind of how you make it happen, or am I overthinking this?
Yeah, you are. I mean, there are some that are fundamentally what happens is in the development community, and let's also, as we talked about maturity, understand that some of us every 2 weeks pull a paycheck. Yeah. Others come in, they work hard. You know, people say, oh, they're going to make $1 million. Yeah, but it took them three years to do that. Right. And then they had to pay the 14 staff that work for them. Right. So they just make their money different than us. Mm-hmm. And in essence, the risk is about 15% to 10% is what they have. During the downturn, they were looking, I'll take a 7% return. You know, and that's when we really got to move a lot of that affordable housing. Okay. For them, so when you do the condominiums, it's a sense of you get your approval. It takes you 2 years to build it. Unlike Vancouver, you don't sell it all out before you build. You basically are lucky if you can get about 50% sales and then you start building.
Okay.
And then it usually takes another year or two to sell it out. So that's their investment, but that's their goal, right? They earn it back rather in the next year or two.
Is it working? Are they making money?
We've got more cranes up now than
it must be.
We did.
So it must be.
Yeah.
Right. There's also some. I mean, you have your crews assembled. This is the business that you do. You got to take a look at your margins. Some are actually, but then they say, okay, you know what? Rental is a steady income. You know, so you're not going to make that and move on to the next project, but you build it. And now you have this regular income coming.
Yeah.
So it depends on where you are in life. Do you want to hand it over to your kids? This is an income. There are a lot of personal considerations for people who build this stuff.
Right.
For the city, we want to look to move development forward. You want to make sure it fits within the communities and neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, there's this global movement towards much smaller housing, so to speak.
I was going to say, 100 micro units, they sold out in four days, which was totally unheard of.
Well, because it's something people can afford.
So let me shift gears.
Yeah. Okay, something on
it. So let me shift
housing
gears.
Housing good.
I was going to have the disclaimer earlier, but I'm going to have it now. Of course, I'm actively helping Lisa Helps, who is also wanting this chair. But nonetheless, I've challenged Lisa with the same question. And that being that a mayor of Victoria, in my opinion, and likely in some of the business folks' opinion, want our city to have a better relationship with the provincial government. And feeling that would help us in general. And I think every mayor candidate should be challenged how they're going to do that. On so many levels, that's important. On so many levels, Christie, in my opinion, doesn't see us as actually part of the province. That's my personal opinion. It annoys me. It upsets me. She's focusing a ton of attention in the middle part of the province. So the global question is here. If you are to become mayor again, if you're running again, which we haven't actually heard you say, how will you try to improve provincial relations with the capital so they start to pay attention to us?
Well, perhaps I'll say this. I think that we have had great success working with the province. So I'm going to challenge your assumption in the first place.
That's great to hear.
We would not be able to have done anything on what we wanted to do around housing and homelessness without working with Rich Coleman. He has been an outstanding help for the city of Victoria, making things happen. I tell him that every time. Bringing the money in.
That's great news. You can
see where we've been able to work with our provincial government, on so many different levels. Most recently, perhaps of example, is the historic land deal that we just did. The opportunity to go to the province and say, listen, there's an opportunity for you, us, and RALMAX to work together to increase shipbuilding jobs, which are good jobs in this town.
Mm-hmm.
We'll provide that land swap. We get an opportunity to take over the Crystal, which is an important piece of our economic development strategy, pick up other public lands around the harbor because it's important to preserve those lands for the public. In exchange for the RALMAX property. They then gave it a chance to sell it to RALMAX, which then allowed them to get the banking investment to expand.
That's a good example. Yeah.
So whether it's working with Minister Stone, whether it's working with Minister Lake, there are good things that need to happen, and we have been able to deliver on those.
So in interest of full disclosure, I'm not endorsing any candidates for...
You said you were endorsing me.
But
that is yet to come out on the show.
Yeah, right. I'm not sure yet. You have to convince me. I think Lisa Helps is fantastic. I also think Dean Fortin has been a fantastic mayor. There's some other people thinking about it.
Well, this is the interesting thing. The candidates so far, unlike politics in this province... Generally speaking, people really support and like those people and like the others. Whereas much of the politics in this province is, geez, I don't like that person. Therefore, I think there is room for that to enter before November. But so far, we're generally all supporting each other. You know, in a general sense.
You know, when your mayor drives by you on his bicycle, and you can tweet him a photo, and he responds to it later. I think that's a pretty cool guy. So so hats off. I would like to, however, talk about some of the issues. We're not going to delve
into
all the issues today, but so they're going to probably just be things that bug me. We've got a situation in Victoria where we have 13 municipalities.
Yep.
And I sort of do the bird's eye analogy when I'm talking to people about this issue. Say, if you were to look at the city of Victoria from the sky, look at the map without political borders on it, how would you draw those political borders, and would it look anything like what we have today? Obviously leading to the question of amalgamation and what that would look like. So the city of Victoria, I know, has put the question on the ballot. Hats off. I think that was a great decision.
Yep.
As far as I know, I don't think a single other municipality has done it yet.
Colwood was going to do it, but then decided not to.
Okay. So is there any hope here? And the reason I care is, for lots of reasons, but ultimately, I just don't think that the way our municipalities are structured is optimal. And I think that that actually hurts us. And it doesn't just hurt us in terms of getting things done and business and so forth and so on. In fact, I think that's a small part of the equation. I think the big part is the prestige part. The mayor of the city of Victoria should be a national, should have the national stage more so than the mayor of Saskatoon, but the mayor of Saskatoon might actually represent more people, even though the city itself is smaller. You know what I mean? And so things like that kind of bother me. I don't think Victoria is taken seriously. I think we lose out on opportunities because our municipality is too small, even though we represent this massive region. And so I don't know if you have any thoughts around amalgamation you want to share. Feel free to just say, no, Paul, I'm not adding anything.
Yeah, yeah. You promised me no serious issues.
We never promised that.
I'm trying to say your statements there. There are like three or four major issues.
It's loaded.
One is the larger one about amalgamation, and if we had that, would that bring us a better or stronger voice on the national scale? We've been working hard, obviously, and you've seen some of the stuff we've done in the past. We're working with Seattle, Vancouver, us having that pyramid that sort of says, how can we work on the Cascadia region? How can we work together? Those are the benefits that we can bring together. We've certainly seen opportunities most recently around the digital meter. Again, us, Vancouver, in this case, Kelowna, being the major digital media centers in the province, you know, advocating to make sure that those tax credits stay there. So the gain is, and the strength is in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
How do we bring people in and work together? We've been working with the mayor of Surrey, Diane Watts, and others in creating the mayor's caucus to make sure that is that stronger voice that can be there to deal with those issues that are really important. So long way of saying is there are, what's the quote, many roads to Jerusalem, I think. But, I mean, there's many ways to get to what you want to get to.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a perception, and I believe, done right, amalgamation in some form is the right way to go.
Right.
There is a rationalization of services. And it's not just about having efficient services, which is more about money. You want to have effective services, which is about getting the job done. And you can do both of those things in a better, especially around what we'll call emergency services, fire, police, 911. You know, those are the sort of the issues that just lend themselves to we need to be working together because we can have a better delivery that way.
Yeah.
Economic development is another one of those things. And again, John, you know that we're out there and we're pushing and we recognize that we're a trade town, you know, that we need to be attracting outside and foreign investment, whether it is from Vancouver or Toronto, Ottawa, or, you know, China, Japan, or India. You know, so we're out there in Shanghai pitching Stu Young's high-tech proposal there because we know that's for the region. We help promote, Viking Air, really strong local company.
Sydney.
That's Sydney.
Yeah.
But though that is the regional approach that the capital region can play
and
should play.
Yeah.
that we can have those sort of things.
Absolutely. And
of course we support and do the shop local program because that's important. You know, that we build that local base. It's not about creating a race to the bottom about saying we'll take anybody and you give all the tax breaks for some call center. Then you know, in 3 years, like Kamloops, you know, Convergys just said, okay, we're on to the next guy.
Yeah.
You want to build capacity. You want to build people that say, I'm here to stay for the long term.
Yeah.
Those are the investments that you want to make happen. So,
that's where the lifestyle thing is.
Whether it's economic development pulling together, and we are pulling together in the region. I mean, without naming names, go take a look and see who contributes to Tourism Victoria. We all, you know, not everybody's kicking in there. Not everybody's kicking into the arts and culture, which helped define this capital city.
Yeah.
You know, we're disappointed that the province never came in on the bridge.
Yeah.
You know, those are the things that bother us.
Okay.
But, so moving forward, amalgamation could make sense. We just need to make sure we do it right.
So I have a handful of other issues, but we're running short on your time, which we appreciate. So I'm just going to throw them all out to you.
Go. Quick snap. You want to do the quick snapper?
Yeah.
This is sort of like YYJ chats sort of thing?
YYJ
chats. Here we go.
Art gallery.
Love it.
What's the future? Where's it going to be? How's that going to work?
Currently, my understanding is the art gallery is staying where it is. They'll be looking to expand. I encourage everyone to support the art gallery, A, by going, seeing it. It's amazing.
I just sent some tourists there this morning when we were at the Rialto.
It's amazing.
Awesome.
It's great. And so we're looking forward to continue. It is one of those things that define us as a region.
All right. The big bridge. What's going on?
Oh,
are we over? Is it over budget? Is it a catastrophe? I'm
convinced that this bridge is the right bridge for Victoria. Yeah. We went out and talked to the citizens of Victoria. They voted on it. It's there. And as we continue to have the challenges, which everybody has, but our challenges, we committed to and we believe in being the most open government. So every time there's a change order, whether it's right or not, out it comes publicly. It will be one of those ones where we will continue to get it built. We're going to do everything we can to keep it on budget. The only timeline issue we're really pushing on is the fact that we have federal funding on it. We have, part of the decision was keep the old bridge open, while we're building the new one. So, it will be what it will be, but we will make sure that it is the best quality, it meets the commitment, and we're going to do everything we can to keep it on the stated budget.
I've heard a few people complain about the fact that there's no rail across it, and I kind of go, who cares? Because rail's kind of not really happening, especially to downtown anyway. So even if they can get rail going on this island again, will it matter if it leaves out of Esquimalt or not? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Preserve the rail corridor. We said to a certain extent that it was an extra $15 to $20 million to add to this bridge, at the same time as the Island Corridor Foundation was announcing that they were closing. Imagine spending $20 million on something that
may or may not ever happen. Yeah.
We approached the region and said, if it's a regional responsibility, if you guys want to come up with the money, bring it in.
Yeah.
No one was willing to put so everybody says it's a great idea. Yeah. Oh, Victoria, we want you to pay for it. Mm-hmm. We preserve the corridor. It is there if a case in the future comes. But in the end, for an extra $20 million, we can bring it to one side of the bridge.
Yeah.
And bus people over.
they can walk across.
It is 50 meters. It is 50 meters from one side of the bridge to the other.
Yeah.
Right?
So, will there be accessible walkways on this
bridge? See, and that's why I think we were building the right bridge, right? I mean, for those out there, we preserved the three lanes that currently exist there, but we didn't add more lanes to this bridge. What we did is we added more bike lanes. We added pedestrian. We added the Galloping Goose Trail. More than 50% of this bridge is dedicated.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Lovely.
It is a reflection not only of how we want to move today, but how we want to move in the future.
Yeah. And actually that ties really nicely into my next bit because, man, I love the Galloping Goose. And I'm not an avid cyclist like you are, right? But I just go anytime I get the opportunity. How are we connecting the harbor? You've got the connection over to the harbor. Is that being pieced together now? Like, are we going to have a beautiful anchor to anchor harbor walkway in Victoria in the future? Or is that, I know it's sort of a slow.
We're really working on the David Foster Way, as it's called, which is basically that public pathway that wanders all around through our inner harbor, starts at the bridge, frankly, can go all the way up to Rock Bay.
Yeah.
We want to connect those pieces. We have this great opportunity with the Janyon coming in that is adding to that piece. As we come off the bridge, there's an opportunity to integrate it, and it has been integrated mm-hmm. into what's known as the Northern Junk. We have just bought through that major land exchange, got Recent Park, which was belonging to the province. We can now connect that through, which now connects up to the piece that runs through the Regent. That now goes along. Part of the deal that we've just worked with Harbor Air provides for them to pay for an upland plaza, moves them off of the land, and allows us to keep it sectioned through there. So we are moving forward, recognizing that sometimes you have to commit public resources to that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get smart and you use private development investments, use your ability to leverage those funds to make it happen. It's exciting. And in the end, to have really, I think it's a 10-kilometer pathway that's going to define our harbor, which defines Victoria, is going to be amazing.
It's going to be awesome, yeah.
You know, and sure, okay, 3.5 million tourists will be there, you know, May through September, but, you know, we'll all be out there for the rest of the time.
And I think we'd probably get in trouble if we don't ask this one. I know I would have liked to have ended on that lovely note about the harbor, but I think I do have to ask. Sewage treatment.
Let
me throw that up because, but this is important.
You really have to.
I just, this whole podcast just went.
I am.
Sorry.
And everything I want to say right now, I better just keep as an inside voice. That's exactly. All I'm going to say. I do challenge you to do a podcast with Mr. Floaty next. But this is it. I fundamentally believe that the residents of Victoria, in this case I'm talking about Victoria, not the region, I'm out there talking to them all the time. They believe in sewage treatment. They believe that we cannot continue to dump our raw sewage into the oceans. Mm-hmm. They want to see Victoria move ahead. We are at a major impasse that I don't believe, I don't see an easy way out of the CRD.
Yeah.
We have a responsibility to do the sewage treatment, which is important to the environment, and we have a responsibility to try and preserve that $500 million that the feds and the province are out there.
Yeah.
It's one thing to be going out and saying, sewage treatment going to cost you $250 more a year. Imagine going out and saying it's going to cost you $900 more a year because that money went away because we couldn't get our act together and move forward. So this is the frustrating thing, and you talked about amalgamation and you talked about regionalization and working together. But ultimately, in the end, the mayor of Victoria says, we will do what we need to do to take care of our citizens' interests and preserve that funds. This is the right way to go. So we'll do that work. It's important.
Is there, and you don't have to tell me what it is, but is there a path forward that you see right now?
We learned from the bridge process, and fundamentally was get out there, talk to your citizens, help them define what the important values that will help you determine what level of treatment it is, what are sort of the site location areas. That's the first place. Get out there, consult with the community, build the support for the program, and then move it forward.
Awesome. Well, Dean, on behalf of the John, Paul, and Mike show, and all of our...
Oh, I just got it. Is Mike this guy?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Oh, I kept going. I see John and Paul, but who's this Mike guy that's not in the room? Yeah,
Mike actually has his own Twitter. He doesn't.
Mike, is there any last question you'd like to bring up?
Total silent.
He's the strong silent type, isn't he?
But Mike's kind of the producer.
Well, I want to thank Dean. We've now worked together for a better part of two, almost three terms. I think folks who serve in a public capacity in our community are extraordinary people.
Mm-hmm.
We're lucky. We're very lucky to have them. And best of luck to all of you in this upcoming political season.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
Including Dean.
Good to see you again, my friend.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, Paul.